Jeff. Jeff Stein is our national and presidential expert, noted author. You can find his books at all your favorite online book retailers and totallyiowa.com. The Iowa Business Report and the Iowa Politics Report comes to us from KXEL Cedar Falls, Waterloo, where Jeff is broadcasting today. Hi, Jeff.
What happened to that talented young man who was here last week?
I can go get him. I mean, trust me, I could take a 30-minute nap. That's no problem, man.
Oh, missed you like a front tooth. Hope you had a good time off.
Oh, thank you very much. Missed you like a front tooth at a corn cob festival. That's a corn feed. Yeah. There you go.
Well, it is Iowa State Fair time, so that's appropriate. Well done.
Thank you, sir. Wyoming. Let's just start there. I mean, what is remarkable, this is Liz Cheney. This is, 10 years ago, this is one of the most iconic families in Republican politics. I remember how much Republicans loved Dick Cheney in 2000, 2004. They loved the fact that Liz was carrying on his political legacy, and she has the audacity to say, well, if you lose an election, you shouldn't have people attack the Capitol, and she's now gone. This is no longer the party of Reagan or Bush. This party is 100% Trump's party at this point.
She got 72% in the primary 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, or maybe that was the general. I think it was even the general. I mean, look at this. That shows you how quickly the fortunes have changed. And the number of people, Matt, that I saw on the Twitter machine late last night and early this morning. And somebody posted this and then others piled on. They thanked Donald Trump for putting an end to the Bush Cheney era of politics. These same people who were passing resumes up to Bush, Cheney, and whomever when they wanted a job. Mm-hmm. It is rank opportunism. I'm not talking about the voters, okay? I mean, that's a whole different issue. But the people in the party or the people who claim to be of the party, it's, whoever's going to write me a check today, which means their loyalty for Trump is only as deep as the next indictment or the next lost election. And so for Liz Cheney, and I remember when she decided to run for the House, there were a lot of people who said, that doesn't seem like enough. That doesn't seem like a big enough platform. And you see how she has now worked that into a pretty big platform, because she is, without question, the leader of the anti-Trump movement.
It's not just that Cheney lost. It's who she lost to. And I don't even know her name, but this is, you might as well just call her Q. I mean, she's she calls her, she's like Biden. Biden is trafficking humans and all the, it's just every bizarro conspiracy theory. And once again, you and I, it wasn't that long ago where if you were throwing out bizarro conspiracy theories, you got maybe 1 or 2% of the vote. You didn't get the vast majority of the Republicans voting for you, and she will be the House rep for Wyoming, and she is a freaking loon ball. I mean, she is out there.
Well, how about the fact that it was only a few years ago that she was a never-Trumper, that she said he was a racist xenophobe, and then when it looked like she had an opportunity, she all of a sudden professed undying loyalty to Trump world, got the endorsement, got, I was going to say all the money, but in reality, Liz Cheney had more money. All right. But no, I mean, even this person who's going to be the next representative from the state of Wyoming, she was a never Trumper, and that was before all of the other stuff. So opportunism has never been a rarity in American politics, but this is just yet another example of it. J.D. Vance in Ohio, we've already talked about. Same sort of thing.
Awesome.
Converted to the religion of Trump, gets the endorsement, gets the primary win.
I had some time while I was out west driving around, and I basically put some thought to, okay, if I need to boil this down more just to what this is, what are we looking at with the Republican Party now? Mm-hmm. And it comes down to, and I think this Trump is able to manipulate this, but I don't, and he might be a little bit of a Pied Piper here, but it comes down to one idea that when you have an election, when a Republican wins on a ballot, that is a sign democracy works. But on the same exact ballot, if a Democrat wins, that it's somehow – it's a conspiracy, it's fixed, it's fraudulent, fake voters, it's not real. That they can look at a ballot and say half of it is legit, half of it is not. And we are – and it, what that boils down to is this mentality that Republican voters seem to have the feeling – and it's – like I said, I think Trump's more of a Pied Piper on this. But it's this mentality that they shouldn't lose any election. And if they lose any election, it's not because they're not popular. It's someone fixed the game. And that is what, you know, has been used to justify January 6th. Now you have people attacking FBI buildings. It all, if you look at back at it, it comes down to that first thought process that if a Republican loses, it somehow is fraudulent. You can, and when you have that being repeated by news outlets on the right 24/7, 365, you get this element which basically doesn't have the ability to see the flaw in their own argument.
They are not the first to lose and claim that the game must have been rigged, but it is taking on such a strident tone.
Yes.
This would differentiate it from ones in the past. I could cite you at least three from the last decade where it's people on the other side who are saying, well, this can't be. It must be rigged. But the point is we're talking about today, and we're talking about the fact that there's a more strident element as this country becomes even more fragmented, thanks to the fragmentation of media, thanks to the proliferation of fragmented social media. And so the lanes that you drive in are so much narrower. And therefore, this echo chamber just gets worse and worse and worse. And so people are emboldened to do certain things. And then we hear about it even more, which leads to copycats. And then the whole thing just spirals out of control. And, you know, there's something about not being able to just accept that you got beat. And I'm going to make a little broader statement. The refs blew the call, we lost. The judges are fixed in a 4-H competition. My kid should have won. You know, it's that kind of stuff writ large by about a zillion percent.
Mm-hmm.
To the point that you make that, well, I believe so strongly in my candidate, I can't imagine anybody having a different view. Therefore, if I don't win, it must be rigged because I cannot conceive of anyone having a different viewpoint than mine. And that's what's scary for a republic.
By the way, and you want something funny on this comparable? I mean, yes, it has happened. When I was a kid in Rhode Island, 1980, John Anderson actually did very well in Rhode Island.
Yeah.
And it was funny because I had all these people like, everyone I know voted for John Anderson, but no one was sitting there saying, well, clearly John Anderson was robbed the election. And right. If you don't, and by the way, if you don't know, he was the third party candidate, didn't get any electoral votes. He still got 5 million people voted for him, but still it was kind of, you know, he was a footnote in history. But that's the thing is now it's when you confront a Republican voter with the ballots from 2020 and you say, well, that Republican senator won on that ballot. So you're saying that election was fine, but the other election wasn't? If they were going to fix the other election, why didn't they fix the Senate race? And they'll just kind of look at you like, Trump won. And they just there is no ability for self-analysis of this. It's just, it is raw, base, just fervent belief that if a Democrat wins, it somehow is a cheat. And if a Republican wins, it's a sign that the American system works. And that's how you, if you can play that, which Trump can, with this crew. If you can play that, you get people storming the Capitol. You get people attacking FBI offices. You get people – it's my personal favorite when Trump's – and we'll talk about this as well. My personal favorite was when Trump's Mar-a-Lago was raided. Within 8 hours, he was out there saying, they must have planted the evidence. I said, if that's – that was quick. That's quick. You know, if you're actually making that claim in 8 hours after they were there, you know they found something. But at the same time, what happened? All the people said, yeah, they planted everything. And now all of a sudden you're getting FBI offices attacked like the one in Cincinnati. And so, you know, it really is remarkable that this is where they're at. But because – and this is why this is dangerous. Now, a lot of people are concerned right now is that there is a massive disconnect from reality that's going on right now within the Republican voter.
All right. Now, there are a couple of things about this. One is I think with regard to – some of the Trump claims, they were saying that the only race in which someone voted was for president, right? So in other words, here are all these fake ballots and they all were just voting for president. And that's why that race is flawed and the others aren't. And the math didn't work on that.
Well,
right?
And that was the judges kept saying, well, where are all these ballots? Well, give us 2 weeks and we'll find them. Okay, this is not how this works.
Well, and so again, if you had this huge distinction, I mean, I look at numbers on any election and I look to see, okay, what's the total vote count in races? There are some people who skip races. I actually encourage that. If you don't know anything about the candidates, skip the race. You know, this is not a time to flip a coin. So you're going to have a variety of total votes by race. But, you know, the narrative was that there was this huge spike, and I don't think it was ever proven. But have you heard of any Republican challenging the outcome of an election, of a race, in the 2020 election other than president? And I don't think
well,
you
no,
can.
Well, no, Bill, well, there have been. There were a few. There were a few cases where this is how bizarre this gets. Okay. In western Minnesota, there were a few counties out there who said that – I mean, Trump won like 70. Mm-hmm. They said, no, he clearly got every vote. This is proof of the fraud. And they actually believe that. And they're saying that, and of course in Minnesota we have paper ballots. They're just the machines we have are just counting machines or glorified calculators. If you want, you can pull all the paper ballots and manually count them. They never wanted to do that, which would have proved that their entire theory was wrong. It just is they just put out this argument that, well, Trump, even though he won by 40, should have won 100% of the vote like some third world dictator. And they believe that. And so there were questioning. It just was in this lunatic fringe mentality that, once again, that if it was a vote for a Democrat, well, that was clearly a fake vote. But a vote for a Republican, see, the system works. That's what I get boiled down to. When you think about it, it really is bizarre.
Well, and I was trying to say something else. I'm not just being
– Pardon me.
Well, no. I probably wasn't very clear. You heard all these folks say that the presidential race was rigged, was fixed, was stolen. Where are any of the other Republican races that were supposedly fixed to where a Republican lost?
Exactly.
And I haven't heard of any, right? Mm-hmm. So when you've got this broad election, how can it be that it was rigged, but we are okay with all the races down ticket? We're just not okay with this one particular race. When the same ballot goes into the same electronic scanner, it just defies logic. Mm-hmm. It's much more logical to say, here are 200,000 ballots where they only voted for president and they were trucked in the middle of the night and nobody saw it. That's more believable than the other, and that's why you didn't hear any Republican who won complaining about an election. And you didn't hear any Republican who lost complaining about an election except at the top level.
We got about a minute here, but I did want to ask you. I mean, I just don't see the Republican Party shaking this until, you know, and I'm not – this just God forbid Trump passes away. And they're just going to believe it. And there are a lot of people that are trying to take his mantle, Marjorie Taylor Greene, DeSantis. But the reality is that there's only one Trump, and I don't think anyone's going to be there. Is this really going to be – as long as he's around, basically this is the mentality they're going to have?
He doesn't have to pass away. He just has to lose in 2024.
And then you think, are you? I just don't see them buying it. I think that look at what he's done. He lost in 2020, and look what he's done. They'll just scream that he stole the next election.
Okay, but that's the point. How many times can you claim to have an election stolen from you before your most ardent supporters even say, the first one I'll give you. But the second one, I'm not going to give you the chance for a third.
We'll get John Anderson on the phone during the break. All right, Jeff Stein joining us right now. We'll take a break. More when, right here on the Matt McNeil Show. Broadcasting live on the Civic Media Radio Network, it's the Matt McNeil Show. Jeff Stein joining us for his usual political commentary. Jeff, let's get into it, because you and I haven't talked about Mar-a-Lago.
was maniacal.
Oh, it
that
is.
Was flat-out maniacal, your laugh.
It's delicious. It is. like an OCB, man. Hey, so you got Merrick Garland. One of the things when I saw this, I was on vacation when this all went down, and I was sitting there, I'm looking at this, it's like, Merrick Garland is not the kind of guy that does this sort of thing. Unless something is really – okay, I have zero doubt the fact that a Trump judge signed off on this. I have zero doubt they had evidence of some real wrongdoing going on. But am I wrong to feel as if the reason why Merrick Garland all of a sudden got a fire under his caboose was that basically the impression I get was something was happening. Now, I'm pure speculating here, but you got these these classified documents. You got Mar-a-Lago. He's a grifter. My gut feeling is he said to himself, "I'll take this stuff. If I ever need some cash, I can sell it off to the highest bidder." And I'm wondering if that's kind of what happened. Maybe not that per se, but something very specific, loose lips sink ships sort of thing was going on. That they said, if we don't get in there and get these documents now, that we're going to end up having some real security issues within the federal government.
If that is the case, then why was there the delay that there was?
Merrick Garland.
Okay.
Because he's very milquetoast.
This to some degree makes your point. That Garland is deliberative.
Yes.
That's been the knock on him, right?
Yeah, very much so, yeah.
That he's too deliberative, he takes too much time, et cetera, et cetera. This is one where I anticipated that you would set up a question to me by saying something like, this is it, right? They've got it. They've got Trump.
No, I'm not that. I mean, hey, it sure looks like it. And the fact that there's not a law firm in the country that seems to want to represent Trump at this point. I mean, well, Bob Odenkirk, Better Call Saul, I think he's available now. But, that's about all you got at this point, because it seems like, this is a pretty cut and dry case against him.
There we go. I knew you'd take that step into the trap.
But now, but I'm saying this. I've said that before. It sure looks like a cut and dry case. He still is not in jail. It just is kind of one of those things where if it was you or me, oh yeah, we'd be in jail. Yeah, without a doubt in my mind. But
but here's the only point I'll make on it. We don't know enough to know, because we don't know what's in the documents. We don't know what was, the president taking his magic wand and saying, "You are hereby declassified," or whatever it is.
That was funny too. Yeah.
Yeah, but here's the thing that you and I have talked about, and I know it annoys you, but Trump has built in this series of layers of insulation away from wrongdoing. And I'm just going to suggest that it's very possible that he has enough layers of insulation to protect him personally on this. I understand it's his house, but for example, one of his lawyers signed a document, and I can't believe this part. They brought the subpoena in. They took stuff. One of his lawyers signed a document saying, "You got it all. There's nothing else here." That puts the lawyer potentially in trouble, but not the client.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, Trump didn't sign the document for the same reason that he didn't testify under oath last week. You missed that one too, and I knew you were just dying to talk about the fact that he took the Fifth Amendment, 400 times?
No, that's right? the sign of an innocent man.
Clearly. Well, it's what he himself said in the past. So the point is, if you ever get him under oath or signing a document, Then the news tightens a bit. And so all I'm going to do is say, look, the Trump accountant, he had a bigger title than the Trump. He's going to plead guilty to some shady tax stuff.
Wiseman, yeah.
But he's not rolling on Trump because he's the middleman fall guy. That's his job.
Well, and
nobody has yet flipped except for Michael Cohen.
No,
and that didn't mean anything.
And by the way, you're exactly right. Wiseman is going to take the fall for the Trump, you know, charities and all that stuff. I mean, I think that's his lineup. Giuliani definitely now seems like he's the guy that's going to take the fall in Georgia for their attempt to basically find me the votes. The question I have for you then is who is it going to be in Mar-a-Lago with the documents? Because once again, this is, as I said, it sure seems cut and dry. But as you said, he does have these layers. Is it Meadows that takes the fall? Is it some sort of innocuous member of the staff of the White House who basically didn't stop him? And he'll say, well, he told me I could take it. You know, is it come down to something like that?
Here's the trick on this. And again, this is me as a lawyer trying to play it as slice it as thinly as I can. And no, I'm not looking for a new client. Let's just get that out into the world. But No, not going to happen.
No, I
would miss our conversation, so therefore I can't do it. Do you think Trump packed any of the boxes at the White House?
No. That physical labor, oh, hell no.
So the point is, boxes are in his house. He has no flipping idea what's in the boxes, in theory, right? So, you know, at that granular level, that's the tricky thing. The fact, and I don't buy in, and this I think agrees with how you started the segment. I don't buy into the fact that Merrick Garland has such a strong distaste for Donald Trump that he is going to ignore everything that he ever learned in law school and just start firing out applications for warrants and signing off. I don't believe that. He thinks there's something there. I don't know what it is. I don't think any of us know what it is. But all of the hue and cry, frankly, on both sides, where the Republicans say the FBI is corrupt and the Democrats say lock him up, we don't know. We don't know enough yet. But the mere fact that you've got an attorney general who was just a few votes away from being on the Supreme Court, as everyone remembers, authorizing a warranted search of a former president, perhaps future candidate's house, you don't just do that for nothing, I don't think.
No, Merrick Garland is just too, you know, slow walking. And I agree with you. I don't think there's got to be something more here that we just don't know. And I don't know if we'll ever know. Here's my theory, though, if he's going to throw anyone under the bus, because you just said it. Someone had to have access to all these rooms at Mar-a-Lago. I think it's either going to be Jared or Trump Jr. or Eric. I honestly think that if it comes down to it, he will throw one of his own family members into the bus and said they – because that, as you say, when you start working the problem, that's probably the most likely person that you could do that could actually be believable that could take the fall.
Jared just got raked over the coals
yes,
in the new book. And so you could see him saying, you know, I'll keep the daughter, but I'm ditching the father-in-law. However, I saw something that actually makes much more sense.
Real quick here. We're at the end here.
Secret Service agent. Secret Service agent, if they see wrongdoing, they are under oath required to report it. Mm-hmm. That's the most likely scenario.
Well, and that's actually fascinating because we didn't get into the whole Secret Service stuff because there is something rotten in Denmark there. But we'll have to save that for next week. Jeff Stein, once again, find his books over at your favorite book retailer. And, of course, Iowa Politics Report. I'll post that a little bit later on. Wisconsin stations, Devils Radio is up next. Minneapolis-St. Paul, Hour 2 coming up.